Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the one true vine from whom we receive our strength and our nourishment, dear fellow redeemed. Some years ago, in one of our morning day school devotions, I brought in a branch that I had broken off from one of the bushes here in the property. And I read this text to the children and had a devotion on it. And then day by day, week by week, we watched that branch. We saw leaves wither up, they dried, they could be crackled. Eventually, the branch became a dry twig that we snapped in two. Had that branch remained on the bush, it still would have been alive. The green, flourishing, supple leaves. But now that branch was dead. This is a message that our Savior gives to us again this morning in another one of our Savior's I Am discourses. He says to all of his faithful, I am the true vine. Abide in me, and I abide in you. As long as we, the branches, live in him, the vine, receiving that life-giving fluid, the nourishing word of life, our continued existence with him will be there. He will always abide in us. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches, and God the Father is the gardener, the caretaker. He has engrafted us into his Son through the power of the Holy Spirit working faith in our hearts. Very carefully, he wraps us in his love so that that branch that we're engrafted in Jesus grows stronger and stronger. But the Father is a good gardener, doesn't just engraft us into Jesus. He then also prunes us. Prunes us so that we bring forth good fruit. And he also cuts off the dead branches. There are three very important truths or points from this little section of ours this morning. And they're the points for this morning's theme. The first is we see the necessity of abiding in the vine. Secondly, we see the fatal consequences of dying on the vine. And thirdly, we are shown the blessed privilege remaining in the vine. We're not living branches by nature. We've been grafted into the vine. By nature, we're all dead in trespasses and sins, deserving of everlasting life and damnation, but we've been given life through the vine, Jesus. We didn't do the grafting. The Holy Spirit did. Through the law, he convicts us of our sins, and through the good news of Jesus' suffering, his perfect life, his death, his resurrection, he's brought us to faith in Jesus, and now we're engrafted into him like a branch into a vine or bush. The Bible is clear on that. We read, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes that the gospel is that power. Romans 1, the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Again, in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And also Paul writes, "So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy." Or maybe a simpler translation for that verse is, "Does not therefore depend on man's desire or man's effort, but on God's mercy." Being brought to faith means just that. We were brought to faith, led by the Holy Spirit to be convicted of our sins, and then to see in Jesus Christ our one and only Savior, a reliance upon Him. This faith in Jesus then is being engrafted into the vine, and from beginning to end, it's all God's doing. It's a gift of God to us. Therefore, to God belongs all the glory, not only for redeeming us, but for justifying us, for engrafting us into Jesus, that is, giving us life, sanctification through faith in Christ Jesus. Today, in our study, as we have been studying the last four Sundays of these I Am statements of Jesus, we see that perfectly clear, the necessity of abiding in Christ. Without Jesus, we are all eternally lost. Jesus says in verses 4 and 5 of our text, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." We need to continue to abide as branches in our vine, Jesus, not only to bring forth much fruit, but in order to bring forth any fruit. For apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And that doesn't only speak about physically, although it's there, but especially talks about spiritually. Without Jesus, we can't stand before our God righteous, holy, perfect in all of our thoughts, in all of our words, in all of our actions. Without Christ, we cannot stand before Him accepted, before the Heavenly Father. We cannot bring forth any fruits. We can't be saved from death and damnation. In and of our own power, we cannot think, desire, speak, or do anything that is pleasing to God. Again, Scripture is very clear. Romans 11:6. Without faith, not faith in yourself, but without faith in Jesus, it is impossible to please God. Paul writes in Romans 8, "So then, those who are of the flesh, that is, unbelievers, cannot please God." And again in Romans 14, "For whatever is not from faith is sin." So where does all our power, strength, and sufficiency come from? Again, Paul writes, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." And that is why pruning is so important. It's so very essential to all of us branches. Our Heavenly Father, as a loving gardener, prunes us back, cleansing us in His presence. Sometimes His pruning hurts. It hurts spiritually, maybe emotionally, but it's always done out of love to increase our spiritual fruits of faith, to bring forth more. Sometimes we're too proud and we're a scraggly branch, or maybe we're a wild branch going off, growing somewhere else, and the Lord needs to shape us. And He needs to form us and cut us back. Sometimes we go too large and have too many buds on our branches, and we're bending over, almost breaking. We become too materialistic, too worried about the things and cares of this life. And the Lord needs to cut back on us. And again, sometimes that hurts. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's an accident. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe some other catastrophe or disaster. How about a whole year of COVID-19? Sometimes we are branches with only a few buds and a few leaves here and there. And then we bring forth few fruit and some really small fruit. That's when we become spiritually lazy and indifferent to God's word. Not consistently coming to hear God's word in church. Not reading it at home in our devotions, in our family devotions and private devotions. Not coming consistently to the Lord's Supper. That's when the Lord knows to go back to one of the biggest buds and cut us back all the way that far to make sure that we bring forth even more fruit. The Lord knows how far back to cut us and how much we need to be pruned. But we as a faithful branch in Christ need never doubt that the Lord will cut us too far back or carelessly rip us off the vine or cut us off the vine. With loving hands, He'll always prune us so that we will produce the most and best fruits according to His work. He also, as a good gardener, knows that he needs to cut off the dead branches. And that is the fatal consequence of dying on the vine. If we stop hearing God's word, stop receiving this life-giving nourishment of the word and sacraments, we'll slowly begin to die on the vine. Our branches will produce fruit leaves, fruit, and then fewer leaves, and fewer fruit. And finally, even though we're in the vine, we'll be spiritually dead. Dead branches on the vine. And then we'll be cut off. Jesus says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." The picture Jesus draws for us is very graphic. In its seriousness, we dare not take lightly. He's the vine. Those who believe in him are the branches. And day after day, our Heavenly Father engrafts new branches into Jesus. And day after day, he prunes us to produce more fruit. And day after day, he cuts off the dead ones. The ultimate end of those dead branches is damnation and hell. That's the fatal consequence of dying on the vine, severing your connection with Jesus and his word, cutting off, being cast away. Jesus, our school children years ago, saw how quickly nature does that. That branch dried up in a couple weeks, and it was dead. So also, if we are away from the word of God, our faith may wither and die, and we will be a dead branch. And that's why we need to examine ourselves. That's why we need to examine the fruit that we produce. Are we more involved in hearing his word? More involved in having our family devotions, our spousal devotions, our own private devotions? More involved in consistently coming to the Lord's Supper? Are we growing in our faith life, in our profession of his word to others? Are we supporting the Lord's work more now than we did 5 years ago? Are we more involved in the work of the Lord today than we were last year? Is our fruit growing by hearing his word and Christ's love supporting us as a branch? 7 times in these 8 verses, Jesus uses the word abide, emphasizing the extreme importance of abiding in him, remaining in him and his word. He lived and died for us so that he would give us life and salvation, and he produced fruits in our life by abiding in him to the glory of our Heavenly Father. You know, to the world, when you grow a beautiful plant or a flower or a flower garden, that's a positive reflection on the gardener. We say, he or she has a green thumb. and the gardener is honored. Well, the same thing happens with the fruitful Christian. The fruitful Christian is a reflection on the heavenly gardener, and the heavenly gardener is then honored. And finally, we see another blessed privilege of remaining in the Word. Jesus says in verse 7, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Only a believer can pray to the Heavenly Father and be heard. What a privilege to be pray at any time for anything to our Heavenly Father, and know that our prayers will be heard and our prayers will be answered because we're grafted into His Son, Jesus, the vine. Now, Jesus is not giving us permission for unbridled greed. When we ask of Him according to His will, He will hear us and answer us. Jesus repeated that same statement that we have in our text later on Monday, Thursday evening to His disciples when He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give you." And then He put that into practice. Later that night, or early in the morning, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, knees on the ground, sweat dropping like great drops of blood, praying to His Father, "Father, take away this cup of suffering, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." What a tremendous comfort to know that whatever we seek for, a little answer, only according to His divine design for us, only to His wisdom and according to His will. When we are brought to faith, we're grafted into Jesus as a branch, into His Word, and that Word of Jesus shapes our will to be able to coincide with His will. And that shaping shows up. It shows up in our words. It shows up in our actions to others. It shows up in our works, in our thoughts, in the good root fruit that we produce, all to the glory of God the Father. So, Jesus makes us His disciples through His words, and then we show ourselves to be His disciples through our works. Yes, a vine produces fruit through its branches. So Jesus accomplishes His purposes through you and through me, His believers, His branches. Our feet run for Him to help others. Our hands work for Him to serve others. Our voice, our lips, our mouth speak for Him to tell others what Jesus has done for them and how they too can become branches in that true vine to eternal life. So let's branch out from this congregation and through faith in Jesus Christ, bring forth abundant fruit to the glory of our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, You are the vine. O nourish the branches grafted in Thee, and let them grow and flourish, a fair and fruitful tree. Thy Spirit pour within us, and let His gifts of grace to such good actions win us, as best may show Thy praise. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.